John, happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'm There's more in the cabinet, Savannah.
That also might be more.
Stuff's gonna be off.
Oh,
See you later.
Dr.
Thank you. I think it's really good idea to get a dick with a big security seal on.
Thank you. right hand. There we go. And view the trust, and view the trust for our community as best we can make. As well as my personal sense of honor. I, Arun Devita, do solemnly affirm on this, the 27th day of September, the 4th day of October, in the year 2018, to fulfill my responsibilities as a student elected representative. I will engage in open and honest debate in a process where I am guided by truth and fairness. I will never purposefully misrepresent facts in an effort to achieve my goals. If a conflict of interest arises, I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision-making process. I will seek out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of the student body. Address the issues of my fellow students and strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell for all students. Congratulations, everyone, for this honor. If you could please sign those, we'll be moving into approval of the minutes for September 27th. So, better to take a minute to look at that. For a second. Is there any dissent? With that, the minutes have been approved. We're moving it over by phone.
I know we're pleased to like, come up to the people who speak by concert, come up to the game to you. And that will also be
this report is for EDPM.
Hi everyone, so for those who might not see my visit, I sent out the application list for the commission. I think it's really important that I just need to go through it because the student voice is not on the citywide commissions and the college chapter represents the third and fourth board of the city. So it's, if you're interested in doing it, or you're doing it, then as you just joined the asset, come see me. I will try to get you a vibe on there. In addition, I just want to let everyone know that the program house applications are what we're not doing as theme for living units. That application is formally changed. I have now opened up for the next academic year to live in. So if people are interested in joining a permanent house, we can be a permanent house forever. They're all there, so including the new LGBTQ Living Learning Unit and also the Equity Engagement Center that was a former Exciting House. Both of those are on the application as well. If you have any questions on those applications, come see me also.
Ian? Yeah. So, assigned to you, members of met this Sunday to review your applications. And we have a bunch of applications that are turning to the college and programs. So, Arun and I, who is a special project funder, requested we to fund Cornell Minds Matter $3.9 million for mental health awareness week. As per the standing rule, the member of the assembly can motion each at this time. All we have to do is verbally support for future members. We will stare at the tower. Arun and I can actually fund anything up to $400 that is well known for the security week. It is to help with the students in this section of mental health awareness week. Google Online Matter. It's all great. Right. Just let everyone know you have the power of the students. If not, that would be officially approved funding. Yeah.
Would anyone like to motion to remove this from the town meeting? Possibly. Removing the business of the day, resolution 10, to remove the business from the town. The version we, actually is not our comments, but I will send that back. This is a reminder of the words of the one. If you want to see the changes for the draft, you would have to pull up the laptop so you can't see them.
I sent it through this.
John, can you see that achievement? And can you just swallow the new revisions, not the old revisions?
I don't have any new revisions from last week. I know you had concerns about such and I'm not sort of aware of the inner workings of university endowments. So if I really appreciate your deal, kind of the charge for that. Otherwise, so we can also discuss that, otherwise I'm just gonna rehash the other amendments and just some of those amendments are like in section 6, maybe exclusive that it's for graduates. Making fix D multiple clear. Section 7, adding part E says a web based application that provides benefits to now graduate students. That's making it explicit that we are allowed to fund digital based apps, applications. Okay. And section 9 is about the procedure in which we fund awards. And so the original procedure is very strict. You have to have things at by the state class, and that is popular. And this timeline has never been followed because it is for the public. And when the timeline itself is so harsh, that no one follows it, then it becomes really easy to not follow other parts of the charter. And so the new timeline, which makes things easier by the second or third student assembly meeting, is the meeting, but also being very strict. And we're hoping that that encourages future chairs to be very punctual in your timeline, but also
the amount that the last about. And section 9E, we changed the way that projects are funded on projects, where you have to start off with the highest funded project and then work down from the highest funded project requesting the most funding to trying to create that area. And with the procedure we have, our plan things fund, that doesn't necessarily work because projects that are at a more cost efficient way might be bigger down. And so this way, there will be first mandatory which members on the committee projects, and then after this rank, the second vote, we put on projects for the highest rank. These are the main changes.
So, do you just want to add Dale's sponsor?
Yes.
Okay, so motion to add Dale Barber 18 as a sponsor for this resolution?
19.
Whatever. So, Ian, the reason why you want to add Dale's. And basically, I think since the more hard part of this is sections 2 and 3 that needs to be happening, I think it should just be tabled so that those specifically reached out and we can just call it a day on this resolution and hopefully come back to it next week after sections 2 and 3 have been resolved. Motion table.
Well, there is a motion to add a day on this resolution. Is that a paper?
I second the motion that I've been very engaged.
Sponsor.
Thanks, Amy. All those in favor of being on this amendment. All those against. All those abstaining. This motion clearly passes. They will be added as a sponsor. Resolution. Is there a motion to table?
What's that? Can you just, I know you had concerns about sections 2 and 3 or concerns about that perception.
No problem. Okay. All those in favor of tabling? All those against? All those abstaining? This motion clearly passes. We will table this resolution to next week. Resolution 11 is on the floor of establishing an investigative ad hoc committee of the Cornell University's Campus for Jesus and Stewardship of Rights and Governance.
Okay, so resolution 11. Yeah, so this is basically reviewing the task force that we did last year under the 2017-2018 assembly. So our bylaw actually mandated that we have an ad hoc committee that we are supposed to be approved by the assembly on the staff. So I'm just like, so if you're like this resolution, we will make sure that we can save the life. We see meetings in progress, but mostly progress is documented in the resolution itself. So we have had multiple talks with the administration, and we actually got to the point where they acknowledged that tendency from Cornell is, it needs to be fixed. So that's what we include in the resolution, and it also includes the survey data that we collected last year for the basis for making this committee in the first place. So if you have any questions that are being presented.
Yes. So the resolution has not been submitted to the mentions of the resolution 27 to national kind of what we're going to do with that. Like, what we're going to do with that task force?
Yeah, so most of our efforts are documented from line 15 to line 49. So we just quoted from the So we basically got the acknowledgement that Cornell University is completely unusual, and that kind of analysis is not provided to all of us. So we actually had the admin to recommend that that was a problem in first grade. And also, we got their permission that because there is no central organization, so like how the printing system is structured right now, is we have obviously different units, and we call their units, we have their own internet, system is actually really inefficient, and we got to an agreement with the university, and we are in the talks to finding a solution to the problem, and I am very confident about where we're going, but it is going to take more time, so I'm asking the patrons to just look at this question to keep the task force alive.
If it's okay, I know this sounds silly, but once it's business of the day, I'm going to recommend the abstract title establishing and to reviewing me. So it makes it clear to anybody else in shared governance or anywhere else when you look at this resolution, it's not a review ad hoc committee, it's reviewing our ad hoc committee. This is that simple thing. All those in favor of doing this is the day for the conference. Especially for the analysis, this is the business of the day. I move to amend in line 2 and line 5 the words establishes and replacing those two words with renewing the. I move the question on the amendment.
All those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? The amendment has not been adopted. Do you have this item? Please give this item in the microphone.
Do you want to amend the title so that it matches the name of last year's? No, but I mean, rather than the new, because the title resolutions, could I just explain why we need to do our RA? So we basically want to expand our investigation into those involving general like IT governance practices of the university. So in our investigation over like the past year, we actually found that there is significant evidence to show that Cornell University is not being very transparent in their governance practices. So we want to, while keeping our focus on the community from Cornell, we want to also look into just like general IT governance practices and how there is a lack of student involvement in these committees. So like most of the IT workers governed by the IT Governance Council, they do not have any student liaisons or just like anyone appointed to that committee. So it's very like secluded and we don't get any to provide any input there. And there has been like multiple attempts by the student assembly to make changes to IT systems and just like IT modules in general. And they haven't been very effective because the group is very closed and they only talk to themselves basically. So we want to expand our investigation and that's why we sort of added that into my title.
There is no dissent. We will be moving into voting. All those in favor of passing this resolution, please raise your hands. All those against? All those abstaining? By a vote of 22-0-1, this resolution passes.
Hi everyone, so this is a very simple resolution. This could be one change to just provide a bit more sense and also just bylaws and it is good to do business today. So this resolution the intent is to make every representative, every voting member of the assembly submit a bi-weekly report on the activities that they've been doing,
outside of something. So meetings that she's attended, which she represented the student assembly in her direct capacity, any current initiatives that you're working on that you might need help with, and any special project that you need to make. So it's going to be great to open into that so that we keep all of each other accountable for this process, and then there's clear information out there for people to see what we do outside of these Thursday meetings. What we're going to change is the absence policy, so we're not going to be missing by report impact your absences, but rather every meeting that we have a report, the by report what's reported in our minutes. All individuals who did submit one, basically, we're just going to say these were representatives that didn't submit one. It's fine with these seven. Just so that it's in the public minutes so that people know who is submitting reports and who's not submitting reports. It's a super simple thing. Yeah, I'll take a question.
Can you just discuss more broadly about what would be good about student assembly members submitting reports? What's been the problems in the past? Student assembly members maybe not knowing what they should work on, not communicating that. Why do you think it's important?
Yeah, so I think it's first helpful to evolve so that you can show other visions outside of assembly, which you provide that kind of information. So, like, you, a lot of these committee meetings that you all attend as liaisons, like, that's sometimes very difficult to be able to say, like, oh, this is what I also do. Because I think there's a lot of times people are like, what do you actually do? What is important? Like, I left this meeting, or here's what I'm working on, probably. And then I'm able to say what you're working on, since I'll be kind of collecting all of them and reporting them, you can look at your projects and have senior members of the assembly in a collaborative process. Two of you happen to be working on the same initiative or very similar issues, you just don't know because you didn't put out there, you can put you in contact with each other. So you can really work more efficiently, more productively, and also improve this collaboration across representatives. Yeah, I think that's, and also the community liaisons, which are working on, because I don't really think any business which is like that secretive. It's not that easy.
Yeah, so I have two major concerns about the fundamentals of the resolution. So, like, the first one is that we cannot make the events policy changes past our off-record meeting. So that actually goes against our charter. And also, I have an objection to, like, how this was created. So, like, I wasn't consenting to that. And as the internal operation, who is supposed to keep track of everyone's attendance, I have an objection about, like, how we were going about this process. And so, one of the charter prevents us from doing this. So that actually should be a thing in this resolution. And also, I
can I just, like, stop you there because we made that part. So both those concerns are kind of off the table. We are going to make this in the business of the day.
Okay, so are you planning to eliminate that requirement and just have people submit it without
matching? If you don't submit it, then you're going to be said at the assembly that you're not submitting the reports. That should be the incentive enough to submit your bi-weekly report.
Right, and my second concern is that the report should actually be present in the executive archivist. So I know that the position of the executive archivist was vacant for a while. We have Anishka, so I don't see why. So, like, Anishka is actually charged with just making precedent and actually keeping track of what the SA has been doing and, like, what precedents for the decision are. And so I think it should really go to the president and like the office and the executive archivist, so I'm not sure like why they need
so to answer that concern, we don't always have an executive archivist that is capable of doing that. I think Anishka would be perfectly capable, but this is a long-term plan. Since I put out the EDP puts out the call for agenda items every meeting, this is already correspondence and representatives of the what need to be put on the agenda. In addition, I communicate with the assembly pretty close. John and I talk to each other the minutes that we even have everything in. So the functional process is pretty much standard. I appreciate the work over the executive archivist, but I just want to make sure like the EDP role is always filled with the executive archivist here. So having a person in that role. And also just kind of, I think it just makes workflow sense. I'm putting up the call for agenda, asking for resolutions. I could also just be asking the report so we don't inundate representatives with emails for calls for private reports.
So I'm just going to touch on that as requested. I definitely would want to receive this. But at the same time, I do think that the historical absence of the executive private setup that should be taken into consideration in this, discussion. I think that future voter systems as well as executive privates. With that in mind, I additionally think that it makes sense for this sound to be, so we talk about this in the fact that there should be more that set up, it's actually much more advertised, instead of should be and something like that will be sent to the John Lee as well as the other as well as the other so when you should know, I don't think that this is because this is something that's been going on the this is something that's been going on the minutes right now, it's really under the second minutes are done effectively. I'll give it to the time. Adam,
how long should how long do you feel we provide enough information to, for someone to read it and understand it? So if you go to a committee meeting for the EPC, you have attended the Faculty Senate Education Policy Committee meeting on this date, that would be the bare minimum necessary to know that. If you want to take the extra step and say, like, here are the things, here are the topics that we discussed. That I think will be up to the representative to feel what is the best way to involve people. I would caution more on the side of better information, better context, but whatever you feel is necessary. A thought, Chuck?
So, I have a couple questions. So, I have a little bit to IFP, and I feel like they are. So me reporting to the entire essay about the like that's a little bit of sense what we think about just because I'm ready to go on that conversation. And the process of communicating a lot, I like to really my poetry and how to talk about that. It's not information. So just it's kind of done to make advice change to the
so nothing precludes you from using this report, doing the same thing. Like whatever you say to IIT, you can say to the SA. I don't think it's mutually, I don't think it's two opposite things. In addition, these confidential meetings, I also respect that as individuals who, you know, do have those. So you can just say, had a meeting with Vice President for International Affairs. Like that is really like that perfectly well and good. And if someone asks you about that meeting on that day, just say, sorry, I mentioned that. It's pertaining to this kind of information that is not shared. It just provides you the only way. We don't have any formalized requirements other than just submitting the reports. In addition, specifically for your position or any other identity that position that is tied to a larger community organization, I would say this kind of is less for all of you because I know all of you have been doing a really good job of keeping that connection alive. Your respective organization for like a lot of college reps and at-large representatives that don't really have that firm to base itself off of. So if you want to talk more about that, what your individual goals look like, how to make sure it's not putting more work on you, but rather just allowing their free-form information other people access who might not be an ISU, who might also be an international student, same thing for other people who might have a problem. We can talk about that if you're just personalizing me.
I just had a concern, just feel it's too frequent. I was just thinking, is there a way that would you be open to maybe relaxing out the frequency to maybe once a month, like an end of semester report? I just said, in terms of a bi-weekly basis. Also, is bi-weekly that is twice a week or is that every 2 weeks? Okay. But yeah, I mean, would you be open to boosting up frequency? I just feel like every 2 weeks, like how much can you pull out 2 weeks? I think there'd be much more benefit than just a standard monthly or a listening.
So you're lucky because I wanted to make this weekly. Thank you for that. But I think bi-weekly functions the best as the overall process I'm looking at. You know, the people that go to it are meetings, like there's a lot of bi-week like meetings I have every 2 weeks. And I think like that's a lot of individuals on the executive that I just want to make sure we're not doing too infrequently so that like some members of the tech, some very high functioning, high meeting members are like doing step meetings that I report on September 1 and September 3rd. Like, I feel as though this 2 week margin is the best way to be able to get a lot of consolidated information that isn't too close together and isn't too far. And if you want to talk about like my weekly report is looking scarce, I'm not doing anything, we can talk about that because I don't want it to look scarce. But also there should be issues like for individuals to be like, okay, maybe I should start thinking more projects, or maybe I should start thinking more meetings, I should be able to try attending and stuff like that. And I think then that's a big reason why the exec meeting wants to come into help and wants to connect you with that, and if you're not already connected, you can make sure that you keep up with it.
And two other questions. Are these services being uploaded or how about?
Yeah, so how would be, we would include them as a PDF in the materials for the remaining agenda. So for every meeting of the student assembly on this 2 week basis, the ones with ours are just correlated, all the assembly members have theirs and just going to be there to use. We're going to include the link on the agenda that we send out for those meetings. We want to prefer that they won't be printed in these meeting packets because that would be a massive waste of paper. So it would just be there, but they would have the virtual access and publicize that as well.
My third thing is just that. My third thing is, what is the exigency that kind of inspired you to do this? I'm just going to. Could people just come up to me like after a meeting, the audience, or like after class? Could people come up to me, hey, you know, what's something going on? What's going on at SAQ? What's going on to like, what was the thinking behind the question?
Yeah, so I think there are very levels of comfortability in coming up to an SA rep and in general, but also, you know, just for transparency back overall. And there's a lot of other universities in governments that do this process as well. I think it's very standardized across a lot of people that are very efficient in providing transparency to the public, one of those being used in Berkeley. And so I think, just in general, this has been an idea that I've had for a long time. And I think now we're looking for an opportunity with this current assembly, seeing the level of collaboration and willingness to do that. And so I think right now is the best time. And I don't want this, I see very concerned it is. I still want it should be the entry, just put in the door for someone to reach out to you. So if you're working on a project that involves the IRS curriculum or something like that, I want this to be put in the door on the page on someone who report that if you're talking about the IRS curriculum, not some thoughts, you want to sit down and talk. So I think this would be a great opportunity for some people who want to be involved, recognize which rep is doing that, because I think that's another big issue. Who's in charge of this project? Like, see tonight, it's like, oh my god, like, what's the see tonight money review? This project funding money, who do I talk about the assembly? And then you see Freddie is the chair of the ad hoc committee and you're reviewing the report. You're like, oh, I'm talking about you. And so I think that helps a lot too.
Yeah. So, I think this is a really good idea. It's a really good idea for building this collaboration team. That's where all kind of random people left into this. We're not just like, let's collaborate on this. No, I don't know what exactly people are working on or what everyone is working on. They're always like, oh, you can work with the board here. I want to do that. It's there. And it means that they will have to collaborate.
Well,
Just one clarification. The biometric report would is it a form of performance assessment for the executive members or just for the accountability?
It's for the accountability. I think like you can also use it for their exec members as members who on the assembly, the exec members not submitting a weekly report. That's something internally that could be addressed as well. It provides more accountability for exec. It also provides more accountability for you all as individual members. So I think just in general, this works for and then, you know, when it might come time to election season, you know, people will be interested to be like, what have these people been working on for so long? And they can go back in our meetings and see, okay, what are weeks that they have reports, those are things we're calling, let's make a decision for them. So I think there's multiple ways to do that. It wouldn't be exact judgment of performance of the representatives. We don't have any business judgment of performance of you all. That's the community that I'm to do.
Additionally, if you are curious about the assembly, it's exactly what you are attendees, action items, and the return as well, on the weekly grind. Or you can come to the meetings if you want.
Tuesday 7-9, don't want to spend 1:34, it's a fun time.
See?
Okay, so I was just going to discuss the report for the resolution, because I feel like it's fabulous for keeping the continuity. Personally, like, you really were kind of against the resolution. I feel like your point really does underscore how much that can happen. Another body to keep the continuity has been, you know, just the data for productivity. And I feel like the representatives have been trying to have that, you know, just not the case. And so I would put it down to the point of the resolution there. And then, speaking, I guess, the idea to put this as the form of the survey, I feel like it's obviously it would be to our benefit, trying to look at what you've done, like maybe on the resume, and what you have, like something. Like, you know what you've done on the resume, but it's not on the page of the website, and look up all the agenda items. So I would say that I really like this book, like this is my idea, but it's pretty important to have that in this action. But you need to be curious, like, how long does it take you to do this class?
Yeah, and I'm thinking on that. So what SAIC does for the projects is I think the method that we can do that kind of combines both the Qualtrics survey. So what we have is the assembly member fills out the Qualtrics survey and it auto-populates this form that looks like the project. So it would be on paper and everything like that, and they can go back. So I think that's the method that would best work. And everything would be there, really nice, so like that. Check out the SAIC project.
Just as a follow-up, I feel like the representatives that are identity reps and like you have this council bodies are able to like work with you effectively. Like you saw the former ISD representative, how it was like, that's just the testament to how well this is going to work.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of variation across a lot of reps. I know the NRG has been one of the best, just historically with technical ISD. First gen, you haven't been that around that long, but y'all all look pretty good. Didn't vary across the board, but yeah, I think you're absolutely right there.
Yeah, so I have a few more videos we're going to do with Jay Wong, kind of going back and forth. And just some comments quickly. One, the Vice President of Operations does communicate with the court weekly, make sure that the event is properly tracked on the agenda. So I think this might be something that we call very much in the Vice President of Operations world, tracking accountability and making that transparent, and also responsible for making sure everyone's outreach requirements are fulfilled, and something we can discuss, of course, in the future. And while I don't like the idea of using attendance and absences for doing these meetings other than for meetings, I'm going to object to the statements that have been made that this would be a violation of charter agreements of the attendance policy. Because it's very clearly in the section of the charter under how to propose amendments to the charter, and it says, any changes made to the attendance policy after the second meeting term will not go into effect in the following term, which I think very clearly refers to section 5 of Article 4 of the Charter about absences. I don't think it refers to the attendance policy in the other documents. And that's something we want to talk about.
Okay, so
we're going
to
is there a motion to table until next meeting, please?
Thank you.
Second. All right, all those in favor, table until next meeting. All those against? All those abstaining? This resolution is tabled until next meeting.
Motion to amend the agenda to place resolution 14 above resolution 13.
Is there any dissent? No dissent, please, for the hearing this week.
I'm Jane Cavallari. I'm Ben Smith. We present a change on the resolution of number 14, increasing the minimum certification to clarify that it's for the buildings that is for the kind of action plan minimum certification. There are different qualifications also in this resolution. So we might want to amend the abstract. Essentially, we're looking to increase the minimum certification for buildings on campus under the climate action plan from silver to black. But this is in the context of the new campus residential expansion, which we're due to get them in gold, which we also want to increase to black under the climate action plan. The second thing is to reduce. We relate to all the issues of the common of the work and division. To put that into context, the optimal percentage of that is 15%, but we are able to reduce the 12 percentage of the common area because right now it is 15%. But we don't have those numbers, that is the issue information in the model. The third aspect is to conduct a comprehensive plans on how to deliver the residential expansion because currently Vermont is only following the environmental assessment plan, which do not provide a comprehensive plan to qualify the residential
expansion. Right.
That is fine. Jointly decided to add the last clause, which requires for the Vermont administration to host a public forum or a Q&A panel so that they can be more open to answer questions and be more transparent about the process. Because this isn't only about just environmental causes, this also affects the low income students. And if the budget increases, and it might affect the housing conditions for income students. They will be more burdened depending on how financial aid can support this cost. So we decided to add the last clause to add that so that it would open doors for more communication. Also, I'm not sure this is clear, a long company to information from some of the plans that they're already doing. The expansion project also have also have a standards, which are separate from the metrics that do specifically make sure that these are as accurate as possible. Whereas we saw that but I don't agree with him that much. He doesn't score.
Yeah, so I just want kind of, there's a lot of more background context that people have as their members don't know. So, with North Campus expansion, there's been a pretty reasonably big fight at the City Planning Board meetings about the environmental impact that's had on, you know, the Cornell ecosystem. It's a really big issue. Catch up with her, because there's a lot of really big stuff there that a lot of people recognize. There's a lot of just in general disagreement about energy usage, about a lot of different facts that people said from the University of the Leeds and the mission report to the city of the planning board meeting. If you're interested in attending one of the big city planning board meetings, which the environmental impact statement decision will be made, that will be October 30th. I believe those are going to start at 6 in the Ithaca City Chambers. More or less, more information will be sent to the SA members that comes up. I think it's really important that in projects like this, there is a level of student experience that is played upon, the same as benefit of student experience. But the reality of the concern is sometimes the student experience needs to also be balanced upon the environmental impact that we are creating, especially at the law university that takes a lot of resources in the area and kind of uses the relationship has. So think larger and harder about this one. I think it's very simple, and also for those looking at being silver and platinum, the way that I've had to explain to myself, because I'm not a major and I'm not able to learn it, is that lead silver isn't really like that big of a difference in the environmental impact that it makes, and lead platinum is actually like the best standard. And Cornell builds all most of the lead buildings only using lead silver, and that's not really a big deal. I think Julie can teach me a lot more about those differences.
Anyone else like to speak?
I'm sorry about that. Thank you very much for coming. And I did have a couple of questions. This might not be the place for it, but I do think it's important for all of us to know what's going on. The university is something meeting on Tuesday. I believe that Professor Power was fairly mistreated by reports from the administration before there was a disagreement with the event. I feel like there's a lot of stuff going on with these numbers. Is there, he had a graph, I don't know if there's something like that, that could maybe include as a document. And I want to ask if you're able to pass this next week, something that could be related to the numbers that really starts to come to the economy.
Is there a graph?
Most recent campus relief that I've been building
those end be gold, or if the program is the extension of the gold?
So, I don't have exact numbers, but we do have some I don't have exact numbers, so we'll put this one first. The way that we do the certification process for us is that all projects that are $500 we have to be and the reasoning for why we need lower is that apparently we have and it's not certain that we get all the things we need to get, so we can do just in case that
is there a okay. So that's good. All those in favor of tabling until next week? All those against? All those abstaining? This resolution is completed. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm back. So I want to make it the intent of this resolution, like the last one's not to vote on it today, because I think there is some key things that I want to talk to some individuals about who might be interested in this idea. So something that I think is really important for the students to be doing is engaging in long-term student assembly-wide supportive projects, so that there's a degree of continuation between assembly class and assembly class. And one of the ways that we can do that is through kind of the long-term signaling based off the document that I'm involved in, the advocacy agenda, which is pulled from still my favorite student government world, Lucy Berkeley. They do something very similar. So what they do, what I'm kind of envisioning for this, is basically the beginning of each year kind of going forward past this year, would be a document that is written at the beginning of the year with the kind of continuation of the previous year of we divide the main goals of the student assembly for the long term, either that they want to accomplish. Because I feel as though a lot of things that we as student assembly members do is we have these great long term goals that we come in and promise and campaign upon, but then something in qualifier happens and we devote our whole entire attention and energy to that and never able to accomplish a really important long term goal. Take, for example, the security issue. Take, for example, the scene tonight, where we just pulled putty and said, whatever you promise to do as arts and sciences reference, making you likely to be part of this. And so this group of three will be committed to writing this, writing long-term goals in the senior summit of the year, really helping execute those long-term goals in addition with the executive. So right now, as it kind of is, like Rory and I really focus on a lot of long-term stuff in addition to a lot of short-term stuff that comes on. It's really difficult sometimes for the rest of the community members who want to get more representatives involved in this long-term goal process through this committee work so that it can be actually accredited for what you're doing. So the committee would have three SA members, one being the chair, and basically the goal of this group of three would be to collaborate with the rest of you, reach out to us, reach out to the community, and kind of create these buckets or pillars that you might call our advocacy agenda. For this year, what I'm proposing is that when we do create a committee, that they work diligently to the end of the semester to produce this document, and then in the next semester start working really intimately to accomplish a lot of these long-term goals and to create these conversations. In addition, the committee would have the executive archivist who would be there to help document a lot of things and include projects to add. And this would be a document that would be pointed to for future assembly classes to see what the last year's assembly, what the team's assembly did before that. I think this is really important to be doing so that we stay focused always as an assembly and also supports the force the student assembly behind these goals. So that sometimes admin are like, now this is just like, they always say, like, you just feel like this or other students feel like this. These should be the goals of the full student assembly that the student assembly truly does support. I think one of the, we can all agree, one of these assemblies that mental health needs a fixing. And so that could be one of those pillars. And we could agree on, I think as an assembly, we can agree on a lot of these really big issues sometimes. There are obviously ones that we disagree upon, like, going to be honest, but there's a lot that we disagree upon. So this would be the formalization of those agreements. Obviously, it's not always true, but really focuses on these three key things in Europe just really improve a lot of what we do. And also, a lot of people make this connection. Lots of questions. Is that you?
All right. So, my first question is who, like, how the agenda, like, the long term goal of your agenda is to use that. Because, like, my biggest concern is, like, as every assembly each year changes quite drastically, so the long term goals of last year's assembly would not be the same as the long term goals of this year's assembly. So, would that constantly actually exist? And then, my second question would be about, like, how can we appoint you as this committee, but the committee decided the goals that you're going to reflect in the next year or long term aren't actually reflective of what the committee needs are. So I think, again, I was like, everyone's a lot of assembly helps with subscriptions from the papers, but the committee really wants, like, increased financial support for X, Y, and Z. So how do you, like, actually guarantee, like, the general consensus of, like, what their vision is for improving cancer?
Yeah, I think that's a really important question, and I think that's why the committee is that ad hoc this year. And if it doesn't work this year, it doesn't work this year. But I think we deserve to try this because the long-term goals are necessary. I think the advocacy agenda, the final product that they need, would be presented to the student assembly. That's how it works. So the student assembly would formally endorse the agenda as a whole, would require the unanimous approval of it, which most resolutions typically get. And those three committee members would really make it their diligent effort to reach out to people and really reach out to other committee chairs and finding that necessary, like, how we're reaching out to everyone to reach out to. It's a big task, and I recognize that it's a big task, and that sometimes daunts a lot of assembly members. I'm creating this massive document and might not get a turn. I totally understand that concern. However, this is something that we've lacked entirely, but it's something that the administration fully would recognize and support. For example, the Graduate Professional Student Assembly works on something called the GPCI, which is the Graduate Professional Community Initiative, which a wonderful liaison is kind of the head writer for. That process has worked for them so well that President Paul applauds it, everyone applauds it, and these are goals that they tangibly work to. So this long-term planning idea is something that's borrowed also from them, that's really, you know, key. So it's a big task. Did I not answer the question? Sure.
So, can you speak more to how they're able to, like, implement all of their
GPCI? I think for a lot of the executive committee members that go into these meetings, they think a lot about the GPCI, they constantly have it as a document. It's actively talked about at the GPSA. So it's like, how does this impact the GPCI? It's a very big cultural shift. Alex, do you want to provide a little context about how you all use the documents? She wasn't anticipating that.
Hi. So basically, it's a living document. So once every 5 years, we redo this document. And we spent an entire year working on it. So right now, we are in the process of forming the subcommittees for each area. And these areas can range from family services to the advocacy, to transportation. And I think the biggest part of this document is trying to find feasible ways of doing the most research we possibly can on every topic so that when we can give administration the document, they know that we've spent time on it and that we think these are things that they can feasibly accomplish with that.
And obviously that timeline's a bit elongated because graduate students and graduate students are more active for that long, and it's a very different body that they exist. So I think this 1 year type of thing really works really well with us. If we don't, we can extend it to 2 years. I want to start the conversation also offline using this to make sure that people
My question is kind of concerning, but just adding something to the community. Can't let the executive committee just write their own goals for the student assembly at the beginning of the semester, first or second meeting, make a resolution, have a resolution that we kind of approved by the SA, unanimous consent, and send it to the unanimous vote. I just feel like we're adding this another committee. I'm more concerned, I can't handle the facts standpoint here. I don't think I can be all there, have another committee, or I feel like we have a second committee to do it. I don't think I'll come up with the committee to do it.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense. I respect that opinion, make sure that we actually exist. I think this week's executive committee would be kind of for that. Caution that previous executive committees, I don't know if they would have been able to do that. I think this is a different page. And also, sometimes I feel like the executive committee, they're at 10,000 feet above, and the reps sometimes are a lot closer to the ground than the true issues are. So I think that's a balancing act that needs to take place. But if the executive committee is doing voting meetings where that we could solicit opinions and do a really good job, I think that's more of a question to what the body is. The body is the executive committee can take on this task and do it, and all for it. But if the executive committee doesn't have the best ability to do so, that's what this is for.
So if we were to do executive committee with that, would we have to have bylaws? This is like a traditional, like, just not a traditional, like, executive leaders, bylaws. These people are traditional, but we have to carry
it forward. It could go we amend the standing rule, we'll put the standing rules every year. We can include that, I think, in the standing rules and not all the bylaws, or whichever one mandates that we must pass the standing rules at the beginning of the year. We could have that ready to go if that's a possibility. If we were originally not talking out there, we can do this.
First off, I want to apologize if I came off as too aggressive. We did not need to do that. But if you want to point out something from this resolution, so like I mentioned, like, my concerns were with just like I want to point out this discrepancy. So, like, we want to point out, to say, like, throughout the academic year, like, in line, like, 31, we say at the end of each assembly term, so like at the end of each year. And then we have in 1935, we have like we were like with the formal document by the end of fall 2018. And I'm just like wondering if there is anything happening in spring 2018 that like prevents this from like going up to like the end of spring 2018 and actually passing this document off to the student assembly. Also, my second point is I'm not really seeing like a difference between how exactly would be handling like such a running document and passing on to newly elected board at the end of each year, and how this committee would sort of like even implement that in that sense. Because I'm seeing that I want to bring like our executive like, this up over time, but in 1970 we actually mentioned that like we will appoint an executive, like we will appoint as an executive member of the executive like resolution coming to this committee. We have like the executive committee where the executive archivist is a member of the meetings. And also like in exec, we have me, you on my protective committee. I've been going to the first committee meetings for everyone. I've been up on them inside, but like what kind of help they need. We also launched an independence policy and have like essentially a document for executive committee attendance. So we know that like really what things are happening across committee. So I'm keeping in touch with like the committee on that sense. And we have the executive archivist, and we have the president you like on the board. Who can do like long-term goals that it's not going to seem like a different sense to like what benefit we would have by establishing this three-member member committee with like executive archivist as an executive member, as opposed to like exactly keeping like a running list of the all interviewing member information and reporting it to like we can discuss it and report to the ESA, we can report it to the next incoming on the incoming student. So as a member.
So, just to clarify, do you disagree with John that it shouldn't be the exact, or do you agree with John that it should be the exact? Like, where do you fall? Or do you fall somewhere in that middle where it should fall apart the exact?
Exactly. And I'm just saying that I'm not seeing really like a you know, I think like creating a new committee, like a new member committee, just like additional bureaucracy, and I feel like we could lose track of what the committee's doing. So I think it's just like better for us as a thing to do goals that are work, and also like keep like on these things.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the the way the dates are set up are really wonky, because what I wanted to happen in the spring was the implementation of the goals that were written in the fall, so that we can involve more individuals in this long-term planning process of this whole type of thing. Because I think, you know, one of the things I've been noticing in talking to a lot of people is that talking with admin is not something like people just don't want to go. And that whole entire thing happens to be on the fact that we're not actually training the members to come into exec in their next years, and that actually affects the next or something that can function to the best of their ability. So that's why I kind of wanted to utilize this as. I mean, we can go about creating those connections with the members in a different way other than this, if we do need to the exec committee. And that's why the dates were kind of wonky on that. I wanted to make sure that you all get some great admin that gets to work with sometimes. And also the admin that we find difficult, that we have to work on relationships. But I mean, if that's if the goal is really after this document back to exec and say this is the document exec presents, we should find ways and we'll try to find ways to include new individuals and people who want to transition into the executive committee in the upcoming years to have this connection. I think that was the main thing.
Also, I guess, like, to come up with these like, long-term goals, I just, I don't know if it's going to be really expensive, but I kind of have a goal. But I guess you should keep, like, as much conversation going. Because it's pretty expensive that there's going to be a goal. And also, it's going to be a goal that you can have to buy it.
Yeah, so I think we kind of remove the idea of exec taking it. If exec is the final thing that takes it, then we have a much better person who can do that and solve it. Sometimes that's different and sometimes it's certain goal. In addition, if we want to just keep it at the backlog committee, I just chose to create because I was just like, I don't know how people really want to work on it. That's just kind of like the testing ground. I knew some people were really interested, but I wanted to kind of get a forum number so that if you go with the ad hoc, I would highly recommend that you find some sort of provision or have a check for it for the issues of diversity or something you could use. What else? I think also I want this document to be more as a statement of goals and statement of values for the assembly as a whole. So kind of keeping this document extremely open to the public, being very amenable here. I really want to present one solicitation of information as best as possible, because sometimes that's very much lack in doing so. And so I recognize that sometimes the three-member ad hoc people as they meant to let them know, and I think we agree with that. But I think that's something we can have more of a conversation about that and something like that.
I think we should talk a little bit more about making it more clear what the different sections are supposed to be involved in the prior discussion rules for creating an ad hoc committee. Because it's actually not effective. So that's another thing that's going to be better. I am fully in favor of this resolution because I think there was a leader ad hoc committee created 2 years ago that I think was supposed to be more similar. That child was created and never heard of that. One of the biggest things we can realize when you want to ask me is that you do have a representative, it is a lot of work. You can actually be able to document it, but a really big thing is that many students and members don't know what's going on.
that, definitely once you agree just down the road, it doesn't exist. So I think these are the documents that get passed it, and basically say, hey, these are the ideas from that, these are the ones we never got a chance to work on, these are the ones that we started, we broke off, we can work on them now. I don't think it should be a thing for future assembly to say, this is what you have to have. It's more of a, here are some ideas we have, and maybe you can do something like that. Very soon, all of our ideas sometimes pass on to manage. So I think they should be really helpful in helping assembly in the future. And all the times I get people that wait 4 years and they're getting back, you don't know what was going on 4 years. This could be really helpful in that regard. I do think it needs to be more meat in the resolution there. It's not a political question. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So my question is, what exactly is the role of that GPSA for UA defense?
No, this would be an undergraduate focus.
So that, why exactly do we need to testify?
No, Alexa's always just here because she's the liaison. She just happens to look like that. I do not apologize. Like, I just rubbed her. It's just this is an appeal. This would be an equivalent document to the GPS guy. Like, this would be a kind of that. Yeah.
And how does that function in practice? Do you think it actually changes?
The GPCI?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's that. Yeah, so you can see the 2013 GPCI on the graduate school's website, and the graduate school also has a process report where they basically accomplish every single thing every single year you put into the stock. So it is accessible.
And, but how is that different than just archiving purposes? How has it changed resolutions or progress you've made in the GPS? Like, how is that different than what we've been archives? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, so I think that because we spend so much time on it and because we research it so thoroughly and we meet with administration so much for this document, they take it extremely seriously, especially grad school. So a lot of the things that we get implemented through this document are things that aren't necessarily going to be resolution.
And just let me get a better sense of that.
Yeah, so one of the big things was the ESO office and having students who are graduate students who speak another language to serve as tutors to other graduate students who may be international. And that would pay a directly in the 2013 that the graduate school is able to implement directly for us. Okay, any questions?
Yeah. I was thinking of on a yearly basis. That's like, if we want to make it like a 2 year basis and happen that, I say yearly because the Berkeley part of it's on a yearly basis. I'm really sorry. It's on a yearly basis for that. But if we want to make it 2 years or yearly, I think that's a fun decision for that as well. Yeah. So, if it's the exec committee over the summer will probably do something, pick up the document, like just a large Google Doc, take the Google Doc from last year, put it on a Google Doc, share tech, do that. Or if we go to the ad hoc committee and it works well with this year, I would highly recommend it to be like a summer standing committee. I think that would be really interesting that we could find a plan to assembly members in tandem with the exec. It's whatever I think. Like, there's been a lot of different opinions on which people feel comfortable with exec holding it, or people feel comfortable with like summer standing committee holding it. Because I think those two would have very different ideas around that. And just do that remember process. But the reason the ad hoc committee now would just be to write this year's agenda and then see the process. But, you know, I feel like there's still a lot in the area, and since we're going to talk a lot after this meeting about it.
Yeah, so I think if we wanted to be great management, I think that would be to authors of those. However, I think the enumeration might be redundant in which you could just have a couple reps and say, oh, we want to tackle this issue together this year. And so then page like that happens also. I would kind of lean against the formalized action plan written document or allowing representatives just to see this and kind of pick one week, let's run with this together. Pick a couple of run with them.
Yeah. So I thought this was a good thing. There seems to be a lot of different, I guess, ideas and discussion about this. Since we don't have to pass this today, I would highly encourage to do a Slack channel just on the specific thing, and you can all put our information on there. And with that, what should we
do? All those in favor of favoring this resolution? All those against, all those abstaining, this resolution is taken to the next meeting. Is there a motion to move into executive session to vote on the CSA's proposal? I do not have that motion. Is there a motion to move into executive session? All right, we're moving into executive session. Members of the community, please.